log on to our website, WGTD.org. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, presenting America's favorite young couple, the Nelsons. Ozzie, Harriet, and their sons David and Ricky. We welcome you to the WGTD Radio Theater. I'm your host, Dave McGrath, inviting you to join us this morning from the WGTD Studio Theater in the Bioscience Building on the Kenosha campus of Gateway Technical College for the new adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring Tom Powers as Ozzie, Jenny Tunkeys as Harriet, Ryan Farrell as David, and Ike Check as Ricky. Today's program, Ozzie Runs for Office, is adapted for the radio by Steve Brown and Michael Elstrup. It's directed by Victoria Dumais and Steve Brown. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha law firm of O'Connor, Dumais, Aaliyah, and McTernan, the Westosha Veterinary Hospital, located on Highway 50 in Salem, and the Agape Chiropractic Center, located on Highway 83 in Lake Villa, Illinois. And now, let's see what's going on in the Nelson family.
What are you writing, dear?
It's just a letter, dear.
Oh, is it a secret?
No, it's no secret. It's just a letter.
Oh, that's different. Anyone I know?
No, dear. Would you mind not speaking to me for just a few minutes? I'm trying to concentrate.
Oh, I understand. Are you looking for something, dear?
Yes. Have you seen the dictionary?
What word do you want to spell?
Well, I know what word I want to spell. I just want to make sure I'm right. Where is that dictionary?
What's the word?
Well, I'm not sure you ever heard of the word. It's demagogue.
Oh, demagogue. D-E-M-A-G-O-G-U-E.
Harry, let's not guess, shall we? Let's see. Demagnetize on... here it is. Demagogue. D-E-M-A-G-O-G-U-E.
What did I tell you?
Harry, please. I knew how to spell it. I just had it written down somewhere in this pile of papers. I just wanted to double-check it.
What are you looking for now?
Have you seen my eraser?
Well, that's what happened two nights ago, and it brings us up to date. Now let's see, where were we? Oh, yes, they're at breakfast, and Harriet says...
Ozzie, I wish you'd put down that paper and drink your coffee. It's getting cold.
Just a minute, dear. I wanted to... say, Harriet.
Yes, dear?
Listen to this. I just happened to stumble upon this in the Voice of the People letters to the editor. Would you care to hear it?
Your coffee's getting cold.
Yes. Dear sir, recent surveys show that alarming numbers of voters are shirking their duties by failing to register for the upcoming election. This is...
Hi, Pop. Good morning, Mother.
Hello, dear.
Good morning, Ricky. Sit down, Ricky. There's something here I want to read to your mother. Dear sirs, recent surveys show that... Ricky, do you have to crunch on that toast this very minute? I'm trying to read something to your mother.
Okay, Pop.
Dear sir, recent surveys show that an alarming number of voters are shirking their duties by failing to register for the upcoming elections. This is not...
Good morning, everyone.
David, I beat you down to breakfast this morning.
No wonder. You didn't even bother to comb your hair. Besides, I had to make sure my hair was brushed and looking all neat.
David, would you mind to sit down, please? Now, where was I? Oh, yes, here it is. This is a tragic commentary on the Association... David, David, please. Your mother is very anxious to hear a certain article I'm trying to read to her. This is a tragic commentary on the decline of civic responsibility.
David didn't wash his face.
I did so.
These citizens who fail to register are guilty of negligence and indifference to public duty.
Cut it out. I'm going to tell Mother.
You know, boys, I think we could all get along better if you two stopped tattling on each other.
Harriet, do you or do you not want to hear this?
Well, of course I do, dear. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Well, I think it's impossible for you to listen to me and be talking to the boys at the same time.
That's okay, Pop. Mom does that all the time.
And she keeps it all straight in her head.
Yeah, even when she's on the phone and yelling at us.
Those citizens who fail to register are guilty of negligence and indifference to public duty.
Yes, and our most precious rights must be exercised. We must protect our traditional principles.
My principal at school is Mrs. Connor.
That's fine, Ricky.
She's very nice, too. In fact, she always lets us stay out for recess longer than...
That's nice, Ricky. I'll be through in just a moment. Otherwise, we abandon pure democracy for the rule of selfish demagogues.
Demagogue?
Yes, demagogue.
What's a dedagogue?
It's not dedagogue, Ricky. It's demagogue.
That's right, Ricky. Demagogue. D-E-M-A-G-O-G-U-E.
Now cut that out, boys. Yes. Responsible citizens register and vote in the upcoming elections. Well, what do you think of it?
Well, I think it's positively brilliant.
Really? You do?
Why, of course I do, Ozzy.
Oh, guess who wrote it?
Let's see. George Bernard Shaw?
No.
Secretary of State John Foster Dulles?
Nope.
Ozzy Nelson?
Absolutely correct.
Really? You mean you wrote that?
You see, right here on the editorial page. Right here. See, Ozzie Nelson.
That's
right there.
Wonderful, dear.
Yes. Well, there it is, boys. I see your father's name.
Okay. Can we eat our toast now?
Is that the only impression it makes when I get my name in the paper? Right here in the Kenosha News?
Is that good?
You know that border collie the Thornberries have?
You mean Shadow?
Yeah, well, he had his picture in the paper last week.
Yeah, but did he write a letter like mine?
No, but he is really smart. And maybe he could write.
Ozzy, I think it's marvelous, your letters in the paper.
Yeah, Pop, it's really cool.
You think so?
Ozzy, we're very proud of you. It's an excellent letter.
Sure is, Pop.
Well, thank you, dear. You know, Harriet, writing to your newspaper can truly be a valuable public service.
Oh, I agree, dear.
Especially when a person can express himself with clarity, a focus, and a true purpose.
That's true, dear. Some more toast?
That'll be fine, dear.
Coffee?
Yes, please. Goodness knows there are so many issues facing the public nowadays.
Like what, Pop?
Well, there's poverty and pollution, health care, and...
I'll get some scissors and cut that article out.
Oh? For what, Harriet?
Well, I want to save it and show it to people.
Oh. Yeah, Pop. Or we can put it on the refrigerator, like Mom does with my schoolwork.
All I did was write a simple little letter, well written as it was, to remind people to make sure that they remember to vote on election day.
Pop, I voted for Carrie Oversmith last week.
Yeah, what was she running for?
Class monitor.
Ricky, that's not quite the same as what Pop's talking about.
Well, that's okay, David. It's almost the same. It shows that people care. In fact, it shows that Ricky cares about who is going to be class monitor.
That's right, David. In fact, my teacher said that we had to vote.
Or what?
Or no recess.
We'll be back to the Nelsons after this word from our sponsors.
International Sterling is the loveliest solid silver in the world. Rich and beautiful in every detail and perfect in price because it hasn't gone up. That's right. The International Sterling pattern of your choice is the same substantial weight, the same superb quality, yet it costs no more than in 1944. Be sure to see the Spring Glory pattern, won't you? There's never been a fresher, more enchanting pattern than Spring Glory. Its dainty, modern design is something completely different. A single flower that flows up on one side and swings over to the other. So, see it at your International Sterling dealers tomorrow. Spring Glory, one of the loveliest designs in famous International Sterling. The solid silver with beauty that lives forever.
Let's get back now to the Nelsons' living room when the family hears this.
Did you hear something, Ozzie?
Oh, yes. I think it was just the morning paper.
But we already got the morning paper.
Oh, I know. Well, I had a feeling my letter would be in this morning's paper, and I asked our paper boy, Jimmy, if he would ride back and bring a few other papers.
But I only heard one paper hit the front door.
Well, I thought you would want to send a copy of the article to your mother and my mother. And my Aunt Gertrude in Green Bay, and your Uncle Curtis in St. Louis.
Ozzie, just how many papers did you get?
I think I better go to the door and get the papers. Say, David, could you go please get me one of those very large empty boxes sitting at the foot of the stairs in the basement?
As Ozzie and the boys gather up about 10 copies of the morning Kenosha News, okay, make it 20. Harriet's cleaning up in the kitchen and make sure the dictionary's put back in its proper place, someplace where Ozzie can find it next time he needs to know how to spell a word. And then the next thing that happens will change Ozzie's life for some time to come.
Ozzie, I think somebody's at the front door.
I'm answering it now, dear. Oh, good morning.
Good morning indeed, sir. Have I the privilege of addressing Mr. Ozzie Nelson?
That's right.
It is a privilege to meet you, sir. My name is Pennyfeather. Pennymore Pennyfeather. Here's my card.
Thank you.
Indeed.
I see you're the chairman of the Citizens Political Pressure Committee.
You are so correct, sir. The chairman and founder of the same.
I see.
I had the privilege and the pleasure of reading your letter in this morning's Kenosha News. Very enlightening. In fact, it was remarkable.
Why, thank you, Mr. Pennyfeather.
Now, I want to tell you, sir, that I find it a complete and distinct honor to meet you in person. A true privilege. And to tell you how much we, the members of the Citizens Political Pressure Committee, or as we call it, the CPPC, are impressed with you.
Why, thank you.
May I ask you, sir, if I may have the privilege and honor to come in and talk to you?
It's a privilege. Please do.
That's a fine grandfather clock. It must be a true joy to have such a grand timepiece such as that.
Yes, it is a true privilege and an honor to have that in our home.
Indeed it is, sir.
Yes, of course.
First of all, Mr. Nelson, a few words about our organization.
You mean the CPPC?
Of course, by all means.
Go on.
We are just average citizens. The man on the street, the woman in the house, the boys on the ball field, the girls in the kitchen. The group in the Gallup poll marked doesn't know or not sure.
Oh, that group.
For a long time, we've been called the vote that's gotten out. And frankly, Mr. Nelson, we are fed up being taken for granted.
But politically speaking, what's your direction?
In these times, who knows? Things have a way of changing daily, or by the hour.
Yes, I see what you mean.
Time is of the essence, Mr. Nelson. It waits for no man or woman.
Well, that's how it usually winds up, Mr. Pennyfeather. But what do you do?
We just put pressure on everybody.
I see.
But before we talk about that, let me congratulate you on your outstanding letter that you sent to the paper. It was marvelous, so honest, so refreshing.
Oh, it was nothing, really. Nothing at all.
Clear, concise thinking.
Please, have a seat.
Extraordinary! Without equal!
Take the seat with the cushion. It's far more comfortable. I'd be privileged.
Yes, very comfortable indeed, sir.
Concise and clear, really?
Yes, by all means.
Without equal?
Mr. Nelson, I might as well get right down to business.
Business?
At our committee meeting this morning, your letter to the editor was read, and it was suggested by our steering committee that I come and pay you a visit and get to know you a little better.
Well, I don't quite understand.
Well, it is a bit clumsy of me, of course. Let me explain.
Yes, please do. Now, Harriet, I'd like you to meet Mr. Pennyfeather from the CPPC.
It's a privilege to meet you, Mr. Pennyfeather.
It's Pennymore Pennyfeather.
Ozzy, what's the CPPC?
Well, it's the Citizens Political Pressure Committee.
Oh, yes, of course it is.
Mr. Nelson, the Citizens Committee is very particular about the character of any candidate whom it endorses.
A candidate?
What candidate?
Your letter to the newspaper indicated that you are a man of deep convictions, sincere civic responsibility, and someone who believes in clean and honest government.
Well yes, but I...
Yes, he is, Mr. Pennyfeather.
You, Mr. Nelson, are the kind of person the committee likes to present to the taxpayer.
But Mr. Pennyweight...
Pennyfeather.
Yes, Pennyfeather. But Mr. Pennyfeather, do you mean... Well, what I think you mean?
Do you mean...
Yes. We are considering you, sir, for the Office of Public Protective Executive Custodian, under our party banner.
Public Executive Protective Custodian?
No, it's the Public Protective Executive Custodian.
Public Protective, yes, of course.
Sorry, Mom, I dropped some books on the kitchen floor.
That's okay, Ricky.
Hey, Pop, who's that man?
Ricky, I'd like you to meet Mr. Pennyfeather.
What did you say, Pop?
Ricky, say hello to Mr. Pennyfeather.
Hello, Mr. Pennyfeather.
It's Pennyfeather, young man.
Okay, thank you. Hello to you, too.
Mr. Pennyfeather, I am quite flattered. This is a great honor. I don't know what to say.
Mr. Nelson, your name was only suggested, you understand. This is not a done deal, at least not yet.
What's that? What's this mean, Pop?
Well, Ricky, Mr. Pennyfeather's committee is considering me to run for Town Public Protective Executive Custodian.
Wow, that's great, Pop. Just think of all the popcorn.
What do you mean, Ricky?
Well, we'll be able to get into the movie theaters anytime we want.
Well, how do you figure that, son?
The movie house. Isn't being Public Protective Executive Custodian almost like being in charge?
Ricky, I'm not sure about that, but I do know your father might run for Public Protective Executive Custodian of the town.
That's right, son. It just might happen.
Hey, David. David, Dad's going to be in charge of the whole town and tell everyone what to do.
Now, Ricky, you must excuse the boy, Mr. Pennyfeather. He's a bit confused.
That's all right, Mr. Nelson. You see, I was appointed by the committee to come over here and, well, sort of look you over, if you don't mind.
No, not at all.
Thank you.
I didn't have time to shave this morning, if that's okay.
No, that's fine, Mr. Nelson.
Yeah.
What
is it?
Mr. Nelson, I know that from your marvelous letter to the newspaper that you are aware of the tremendous responsibility that any man or woman has in public office.
Of course I do.
Good. Therefore, you won't mind if I ask you a few questions.
Not at all, sir.
This should be interesting.
Later, Harriet.
Do you hold public office now?
No.
Have you ever been convicted of a felony?
No.
Hey, Pop, what's a felony?
Ricky, it's when someone does something wrong and gets into really serious trouble for it.
Yeah, Ricky. Remember when you got grounded for going over to Freddie Thompson's house and stayed past dinner last summer?
That's a felony?
Ricky, first of all, it's a felony. And secondly, that's not the same. It's a lot worse.
Oh, yeah. Like losing my allowance for a month.
That's right, Ricky. Exactly.
Yes. What other questions, Mr. Pennyfeather?
That's all for now, Mr. Nelson. You seem just like the type of person we're looking for.
What kind of person is that, Oz?
Hi there, Thorny.
Sorry I didn't knock first, Oz. I had to talk to you.
That's okay, Thorny. Mr. Pennyfeather, I'd like you to meet my neighbor, Jim Thornberry.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Pennyfeather.
Likewise.
Say, Oz, do you have a moment?
In a little while, Thorny.
Mr. Nelson, I think we'll want you to come into our committee meeting next Monday at noon. Can you make it?
What kind of meeting is that, Oz?
They want Ozzy to run for Public Protective Executive Custodian.
Of what?
Of our town, Thorny.
Well, remember, Mr. Nelson, we are still kicking the tires here. I'm sure you understand.
They better not kick you, Pop.
Ricky!
What does this mean, Oz?
Mr. Berrythorn, I...
It's Thornberry.
Mr. Thornberry, it means that if elected, Mr. Nelson will always be in the public eye. He'll have to always assume that everyone is looking at him and listening to everything he has to say.
What about your shoes, Pop?
What about them, David?
Does that mean I have to shine your shoes for you all the time?
You don't do that now, David.
I know. I was checking to see if I might be able to increase my allowance.
Boys, I think there's more to it all than shiny shoes. Isn't that right, Mr. Pennyfeather?
Oh, no. Shoes are very important. They make the man, Mr. Nelson.
Yes, of course they do. Bright, shiny shoes, hair combed, and always wearing a tie, a sweater vest.
Ozzie, just what you always enjoy wearing.
Yes, yes, dear, just what I always want, all the time, always. So, Harriet, what do you think?
About your running for public protective executive custodian?
Why, of course. That's what I mean, Harriet.
I think it's a wonderful idea, dear.
Well, there's a lot to it, you know.
Like what, dear?
Well, you must realize what an important step this is. Our quiet, peaceful home life here will be all changed. We'll live in the public eye, subject always to criticism, and just like Harry and Bess, Ike and Mamie, few thanks, long hours.
I always thought a politician's hours were short.
Well, not just before elections, according to Mr. Featherpenny.
Well,
Well, think it over, Harry. It's a big step. You know what they say. Politics make strange bedfeathers. Bedfellows. Right, Harriet?
I guess so, dear.
Well, what do you think, dear?
Ozzie, I think it's a great honor.
Harriet, take me by the hand.
What for, dear?
We accept the nomination, ladies and gentlemen, friends and foe alike. I am here today to announce my platform for public protective executive custodian of our fine town. And I shall...
Ozzie, that's enough. We're on the same side, you know.
I know, Harriet. I'm just practicing for my first speech.
Ozzie, don't you think you need to put together the plan for the campaign?
Well, probably so, but I do like the speech-making.
There's time for that, Ozzie.
And if elected, I promise I shall do my utmost to discharge efficiency and honesty to the office you have elected me to. Harriet, I'm not through yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, dear.
I pledge myself to the service of the people. I pledge every bone and muscle in my body, every hair on my head, every drop of blood in my veins.
Ozzie, isn't that a bit strong?
Well, you got to impress them with your sincerity.
Well, I know, dear, but do you have to bleed on them?
Well, maybe just the bone, muscle, and hair is enough. And may I add...
That's okay, dear. I better find out what we might have for lunch.
It is every citizen's duty to register and vote for candidate of his or her choice.
Ozzie, you will excuse me, won't you?
And keep out the worthless charlatan and an irresponsible demagogue.
At least you know how to spell that word now, don't you, dear?
Hey, Pop, this big book was just delivered to you.
Oh, that must be the book of town ordinances and regulations that Mr. Featherpenny, Pennyfeather, said he'd drop off to me to read.
That's quite a book for you, Pop.
I know, Ricky. Hey, say, Ricky, I want you to hear the last part of my speech.
Okay, Pop, do you want me to sit or stand for this?
Sit or stand for what, Ricky?
Pop wants to say the last part of his important speech for us.
Sure, Pop. Shall we sit or stand?
Sit or stand for what, Oz?
For the last part of his speech.
Okay, now that everyone's here, let me continue.
Go get him, Pop.
We're all ears, Oz.
Thanks, Thorny. And I also promise that if elected, I will leave no stone unturned. I will use all my energy, my time, all my waking hours, if necessary, to make the Office of Public Protective Executive Custodian an office of efficiency and good government.
That's a great speech, Oz.
Yeah, Pop.
I'm sure you'll be elected, Pop.
Well, thanks a lot, David, but it isn't such a cinch.
Why's that, Pop?
Well, some people think my opponent, Fiorello Hornblower, will win.
Oh, you have an opponent?
Why, of course I do, David. Do you think that people run for office nowadays without having an opponent?
Sometimes they do, Oz.
Yeah, well, not this time.
Oh, Oz, you know I'll vote for you even if you have an opponent.
Well, now, Thorny, I don't want you to vote for me unless you think I'm the best candidate.
But Oz...
You see, Thorny, it's the duty of a citizen to not only register to vote and then vote, but also to keep informed and know all about the candidate and their duties of their office. And then, and only then, to decide which candidate is most capable to handle all the rigors of the job, day in and day out.
Where do I vote, Pop? You have my vote.
Well, first of all, son, you're way too young, and most importantly...
And most importantly, lunch is almost ready.
Yes, and most importantly, Ricky, you need to know if the other candidate is capable.
Is he, Pop?
Well, David, I think that Mr. Hornblower is... I believe he certainly must... Whereas he has ascertained that Harriet...
Yes, Ozzie, I know. Lunch is served.
As Thorny joins the Nelsons for lunch, Ozzie's already plotting and planning his campaign against Mr. Hornblower for public, protective, executive, custodian. After lunch, Harriet turns to Ozzie and says...
Ozzie, what are the duties for this office you're running for?
I think it's in charge of the protective executive or the executive custodian of... You know, gee, Harriet, I'm not really sure.
Don't you think you should know all the facts? As duly informed citizens, we certainly don't want any more demagogues in office. Now do we, Ozzie?
No, of course not, Harriet.
Oz, is there any way to look it up in some document of the town?
Actually, Thorny, why, yes, there is. And in fact, hand me that big heavy book over there on the other table. Let's see here. Public Offices, page 247. Let's look here.
I think that's a good idea, dear.
Yes. By the sound of the office, Public Protective Executive Custodian, I think it has something to do with the Treasurer's Office, wouldn't you?
No, that sounds good to me.
No, it's not in that section. Anyway, it wouldn't be a minor office like that anyway. Not the way Mr. Pennyfeather and his committee talked about it.
I would think not, dear.
Let me look it up. Close to the Mayor's Office. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, we're right here. Here it is.
What does it say, Oz?
Let's see. A public protective executive custodian. The duties shall consist of... And then it goes on to say that...
I didn't understand what you said.
Yeah, Oz, what does it say?
What are we having for dinner tonight, dear?
What exactly is the office for, Ozzy?
Office?
Yes, that's just what you looked up, isn't it?
Well, yes.
Ozzie, what are the particular duties of the Office of Public Protective Executive Custodian?
Harriet, the specific duties of the office aren't that important after all.
I know, dear, but what are the duties?
Harriet, it doesn't really matter what a man does. It's the fact that he's in public service and that he's willing to serve everyone, knowing that it's for the general welfare of everyone, and that all citizens will benefit from such service.
Ozzie, tell me!
And that he's doing the best he can for the people.
Oz, you have to tell us.
Tell us what, Pop?
Oh, hello, David. Where's your brother?
Here I am, Pop. What's going on?
Boys, your dad was just going to tell Mr. Thornberry and me what his job will be if he gets elected.
Tell us, Pop.
Yeah, Pop, tell us.
Tell us all, Hot Ozzie.
Yeah, tell us. Tell us.
Okay, I'll tell you. Dog catcher.
Dog catcher?
Oz, did you really say dog catcher?
Well, head... dog catcher.
Well, Ozzie, I have only one thing to say.
What's that, Harriet?
For dinner tonight, we're having roast beef and mashed potatoes.
Now that Ozzie's told everyone he's running for dog catcher, head dog catcher at that, it's time to check in with Ricky and David and their friend Mary Lou from just down the street as they're talking about the upcoming hayride on Friday night.
David, are you going to the hayride party Friday night?
Of course I am. I wouldn't miss it.
Oh, that's wonderful, David. It will be peachy keen seeing you in your overalls and big straw hat.
Hey, what about me?
What about you? You can't stay out that late.
How late is that late?
At least 10 o'clock. I don't think Mom would let you stay out past 9.
Gee, can I ever be older like you, David?
Oh, Ricky, you will be. Soon. Don't worry.
You promise?
Yes, I do.
Darn. David is all the luck, just because he's 16, and I'm only 12. It's just not fair. If I were only 4 years older, and Mary Lou giggled at me the way she does with David, why, I'd stand up there in that flatbed full of hay, take out my guitar, and sing her a song. That's what I do. Just like that.
Just like what, Ricky?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all.
Let's see what kind of plans Ozzy's making to run for office. You remember, the Office of Public Protective Executive Custodian. That's right, dog catcher.
That's head dog catcher.
Ozzy, are you still planning on passing out campaign buttons and hats?
Why, yes, Harry. Why do you ask?
Well, don't you think it would be better to pass out dog biscuits?
Harriet, that's a very cheap joke.
Well, I don't know. I kind of like it.
Yes, well, the Office of Head Dog Catcher is an honorable and very historic office. It was established back in 1874 by an act by the town council and has always been filled by honest and upright citizens.
That's very interesting, dear, and very impressive.
And besides, well, I can't get out of it.
Well, I don't see why you'd ever want to get out of it, dear. It's an important public office. And besides, if you do a really good job, you could run for a higher office next year.
You know, that's right. That's the way I should be looking at this. It could be a stepping stone. In fact, it could even lead us to Washington one day.
Sure. From the doghouse to the White House.
Oh, hello, boys.
Oh, hi, Pop.
Hi, Pop.
What happened, fellows? Did something go wrong in school today?
Tell them, David.
Well, I might as well tell you, Pop.
Yeah, go on, David.
Well, Pop, ever since you said you were going to run for dog catcher, all the kids at school who have dogs won't even speak to us anymore.
Oh, so that's it, huh?
That's not all, Pop. Will Thornberry's Cocker Spaniel, Rags, won't even speak to us either. Well, he growls a little at us now.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry, Pop, but none of the kids really seem to like dog catchers.
Their dogs don't either.
Well, boys, I think you and your friends have this thing just a bit confused.
How is that, Pop?
Well, you see, I won't be the man who goes out with the net and catches the dog.
You won't?
No. Well, I'll just be the man who sends the man out with the net to catch the dog.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not much better, is it, boys?
Pop, please don't be a dog catcher.
Yeah, Pop, don't.
Gee, boys, I never really thought you felt this way about it.
We wanted to have a dog of our own.
Well, you can have a dog of your own. I can catch it. Well, I can get you a dog. I'll buy you boys a swell dog.
Really?
Yeah. You think just because I might become a dog catcher that I object to having a dog in the house?
No.
Well, then what is it, boys?
Well, how's the dog gonna feel?
Now, boys, I like dogs. You know that. I like dogs just as much as you do. And if we...
Oh, hello, Mr. Nelson.
Oh, hello, Mary Lou.
Mr. Nelson, I ran over here as fast as I could when I saw you coming out of your house. I heard the news and wanted to tell you that I'm very proud of you.
Oh, thank you, Mary Lou.
What an honor it is for me to live next door to you.
No, thank you, Mary Lou, but you're just exaggerating.
Oh, no, I am not. I was just thinking how proud I'd be when one day a mad dog gets loose on Sheridan Road and people's lives are in danger. And then you come along, swoop in, and capture the angry dog with your bare hands.
I do think they provide gloves for such things, Mary Lou.
I can just see you now. You are facing the mad beast. You then slowly start to walk towards the mad dog. He gets lower to the ground, as if he's going to pounce on you. You walk even closer to him, holding the net in your hand. Suddenly, he springs at you. You throw the net. It misses. The crowd that's gathered starts to scatter. But do you, Mr. Ozzie Nelson, my neighbor, run?
Well, of course I do.
No! Nelson, you do not. The mad dog has you now by the sleeve. His teeth are snapping at the flesh on your arm. All of your assistants can run up and throw the ropes around him. And finally, the mad dog is captured.
Well, I don't think that...
And you, Mr. Nelson, you're a hero. Oh. Wouldn't that be wonderful for our neighborhood? For all of us here on Rogers Road?
You know, Mary Lou, you and the boys are giving me an entirely new perspective on my decision to run for dog catcher.
Head dog catcher, Mr. Nelson.
Yes, of course, head dog catcher.
Oh, it will be so wonderful, Mr. Nelson.
Mary Lou, this whole thing becoming less and less appealing by the mad dog minute.
You mean you'd rather not have the job, Mr. Nelson?
Well, David and Ricky and probably even Harriet will disinherit me if I'm elected.
Why is that, Mr. Nelson?
Well, it seems that nobody has any sympathy anymore for dog catchers. We're a depressed minority today, Mary Lou.
Well, if that's how you really feel about it, maybe you'll be lucky and lose the election.
No. Not with my luck. See, they've already arranged for me to go out and make speeches and go to dinners, go door to door, stand on street corners, even go on the radio and make announcements and give interviews.
Well, maybe the people won't like your speeches and won't vote for you.
Hey, that's an idea, Mary Lou. Maybe I can campaign to lose votes.
Oh, sure you could. You can do anything you set out to do, Mr. Nelson.
If I could succeed in making bad enough speeches and say things that people won't like, I just might be able to lose the election.
Oh, I've got faith in you, Mr. Nelson. You'll be able to do it. It'll be easy for you.
I better go, Mary Lou. I'm going to go prepare a few bad speeches.
Oh, Mr. Nelson, I know you can do it. I just know it.
Say, Mary Lou, how are you so sure?
Because you're Ricky Nelson's dad. You can do anything.
Thanks again, Mary Lou. Hey, see you later.
Bye-bye, Mr. Nelson.
And so a strange phenomenon takes place. The Rogers Road political machine grinds to a stop and slowly goes into reverse and gradually gathers speed and more speed, every gear running smoothly and churning out speeches.
What would I do about loose dogs if I were elected? I'd do the same thing the present incumbent would do about loose dogs if I were the present incumbent and he were running against me. That's what I would do about loose dogs if I were elected. That's right.
And churning out radio programs.
Wake up, America. Time to talk to our voters. Tonight, our guest expert is candidate for Public Protective Executive Custodian, better known to all of you as our head dog catcher, Mr. Ozzie Nelson. Mr. Nelson, I would like to ask you a question. Whom will you vote for as dog catcher?
Well, let me see. You know, Radio Lady, I believe I will vote for my opponent, Mr. Fiorello Hornblower.
Why, Mr. Nelson, I don't understand. Why would you do such a thing?
Well, just one reason, Radio Lady. He is experienced. He is dependable. Old Hornblower wears nobody's collar.
And making more speeches.
And so, members of the Ladies Auxiliary of the Brown Paper Bag Society, a vote for me is a vote for inefficiency. And furthermore, I like dogs too much to be the head dog catcher. And so, members of this distinguished association, elect me dog catcher, and in 6 months, the dog will be running this town. So I say to you, daughters of the American Society of Border Collies and Other Sheepdogs, I urge you to go to the polls tomorrow and vote for my opponent, Fiorello Hornblower. Vote once, and as you know, you can't vote often, but by all means, vote for my opponent.
And Ozzie Nelson continues to give speeches and making his doggy-fed political jokes.
It has been said by some irresponsible and feather-brained scandal-mongers that my opponent, Mr. Fiorello Hornblower, was once seen pushing a beautiful white doggy off his lap. This is an unmitigated and scandalous untruth. But that was no dog. That was his wife.
And grinding out printed brochures and billboards.
Ozzie Nelson, an able candidate, supports the platform of Mr. Fiorello Hornblower for the office of dog catcher. Honesty, integrity, dedication, a true blue dog chaser. Airmail, 25 cents.
Planning keen and astute campaign strategies.
Oh, well, why should I shake your hand? I don't want your vote or your germs. Cigars? No thanks, never use them. Besides, this is a non-smoking studio. I am calling on you for one thing, and one thing only. Get out and vote. But remember one thing, and one thing only. If I am elected, this town will surely go to the dogs.
Now it's right up to election day and election night. Ozzie's at home, and Harriet says to him,
It's 7 o'clock, dear. Why don't you see if any returns are coming in over the radio?
And when the smoke of battle drifts away on this hard-fought election, the town will find in its midst one of the brightest political stars in the history of our fair town, the cleverest vote-getter of all time, in a very unorthodox and completely nutty campaign, the candidate on the ballot from the Citizens Committee.
Citizens Committee?
Swept all opposition before him by doing the novel and incredibly astute thing of pretending that he really didn't want the job. I guess that proves that nothing really grabs the hearts and minds of Americans than someone with a really good sense of humor.
Oh, no.
Ozzie, you don't really think that
so
it could...
So let's all congratulate our new dog catcher. Congratulations, wherever you may be on this lovely evening, Mr. Ozzie Nelson, and may you continue...
If that isn't the most amazing thing...
No, it's terrible.
You know, wait, dear, it's hilariously funny. After you tried so hard not to get elected...
What am I going to tell the children? And what are they going to tell Thorny's Cocker Spaniel?
That must be the committee to put the crown on your head after winning the election.
Oh, Mr. Pennyfeather, please come in.
Mr. Nelson, I hope that you're thoroughly ashamed of yourself.
What do you mean?
To think that you, of all people, would do a thing like that.
But what do you...
And after that wonderful letter you wrote to the paper, Do you remember what you said in the letter?
Why, of course I do. And what's that got to do with winning the election?
What's that got to do with winning the election? Let me tell you what. Haven't you heard?
That I won the election?
Yes, that you've won. But that you've also been disqualified.
Disqualified? But why?
Oh, it's all on a technicality, too.
Yes, but why?
Mr. Nelson, you forgot to register.
That's impossible. If you forgot to register, then how did you vote?
Holy smokes, I forgot to do that, too.
Oh, no!
You've been listening to The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring Tom Powers as Ozzie, Jenny Tunkey as Harriet,